It was a big week for AI at Google's I.O. conference. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Google revealed a slew of new products at its annual developer conference this week, like its new Pixel Flip Phone. I mean, Fold Phone. I guess we're calling them Fold Phones now. But it was artificial intelligence that stole the show, from new search integrations and updates to its Bard chatbot to an automatic translation dubbing service. Google is clearly going big on AI as it tries to fend off competition from Microsoft and OpenAI. It's part of a strategy to be bold and responsible, says James Manyika. He's Google's senior vice president of technology and society.
We are trying to be bold, meaning we're trying to focus on what are the most impactful ways that AI can benefit people, businesses, society. We also want to take the responsible part pretty seriously, partly because, you know, AI is still an emerging technology. And as such, we need to be very mindful about the risks, the challenges, the complexity that come with it. Those two ideas, being bold and responsible, while they may sound like they're in tension, we actually think we can embrace both of those and, you know, make productive use of that tension. That's what we're trying to do.
I mean, this is a space where there is such a striking divergence in views, even among, I would say, leaders in the field. You know, you have people imagining amazing medical breakthroughs, you know, rising standards of living on one hand, and then others literally warning about destroying civilization. I mean, how are you thinking about balancing the risks and the benefits of these tools?
The benefits are, in fact, something we're very excited about. But we have to balance that together by thinking about the risks and the challenges and the responsibility. I mean, let me describe some of the things we are paying particular attention to.
Yeah, what keeps you up at night?
Yeah, so we think a lot about several kinds of risks and challenges. First are those risks that have to do with the outputs from these systems. We know that they're not always going to be accurate. We know that sometimes there can be toxicity and biased outputs from these systems. So we pay a lot of attention to addressing that and doing all we can, and we're doing a lot of research to address that. Second, we also think a lot about the possibility of misuse, because some of these same technologies, you know, take something that we actually talked about at I/O, Universal Translator, which is an incredibly useful technology that allows the ability to dub and help learners learn speech across different languages, be able to translate and so forth, which is incredibly helpful. But the same technology can be misused to create deep fakes. So we pay a lot of attention to putting guardrails, to making sure that it's only available to authorized partners. The other thing that we also pay a lot of attention to is the possibility that, in fact, there may be second order effects to these technologies that we have not yet fully understood collectively as a society.
As you noted, Google made several announcements about new AI developments and tools at the I/O conference. What are you most excited about?
Oh, there's so much, Megan. You probably saw us show how we're building these AI capabilities into the products that people use every day, whether it's Maps or you know, Google Translate or Lens. I'm also quite excited about some of the newer capabilities we're bringing to things like Workspace. I don't know if you saw one of the products we announced, something called Tailwind, which I'm very excited about. It's a way to organize my own information, notes that I've made for myself, and use it to write and do research and compose and so forth. Very exciting. Then I'm also excited about Bard. We're now taking Bard to, you know, 180 countries, and we're on path to have it work in 40 languages. We're building ways for it to be able to use other tools, whether it's Google Docs, Google Email, Gmail, even other third-party products. We announced some collaborative work we're doing with Adobe. So the ability for Bard to connect with other systems and other tools makes it incredibly helpful.
One intriguing development that you talked about is the idea of AI image watermarking. Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, one of the things that's so important is, particularly in this period of generative AI, where we're able to create so much content, the ability to be able to understand and be able to trust that information becomes really, really important. So we've been working a lot on watermarking so that at least, you know, we can provide some context. So for example, soon you'll be able to see something called about image, where if you look at an image, there'll be enough context there provided to you so you can know whether this was generated by an AI, where you might have seen it, its history, where it's come from. And then in addition, we are working on watermarking technology so that you'll be able to tell when something's been generated by an AI system. We think this is very important to give people confidence and be able to assess and evaluate and have context when they look at generated material on the internet.
Right. The spread of misinformation and disinformation is one of the biggest concerns about these generative AI tools. We have an election year coming up in the U.S. Do you think that tech companies have a responsibility to build tools that help to counteract some of these harms that their other technology kind of introduces?
Misinformation is very much on our minds, and that's why these innovations like watermarking, and it's also the reason why we try to be very thoughtful about, just because we can doesn't mean we should. We ask ourselves, should we do this? Should we put this out into the world? Have we done everything we can to make this safe? And are we being as responsible as we can be? But I think at the end of the day, Megan, this is going to have to be a collective effort. It's not enough for just technology companies to focus on this, because there are other people who might use these systems, whether they're organizations, individuals, and others. I think governments are going to need to be involved. This is going to be very much a collective effort if we're going to get this right.
James Manyika at Google. As I noted, Google has announced a bunch of new AI products. We'll link to all the highlights from the conference at our website, marketplacetech.org. The new large language model supercharged Google search engine hasn't been released to the public yet, but you can see a preview of what it looks like at Wired. It sounds sort of similar to what you get with Microsoft's Bing, which incorporates the underlying language model of ChatGPT, but connects it to internet search results. We tried that out with The Wall Street Journal's Joanna Stern back in March. And earlier this week, we touched on the problem of AI-generated fakes and misinformation, which Google's new watermarking system seeks to address. We talked to a philosopher about what all this means for our collective sense of truth and reality. Daniel Shin produced this episode. Jesus Alvarado and Rosie Hughes also produce our show. Lydia Morell is our intern. Brian Allison is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.